Okay, so how about if you give a mic check and see how you're doing?
My mic sounds nice, check one. My mic sounds nice, check two.
What song is that?
My mic sounds nice. Salt and Pepper.
Salt and Pepper. Yeah, I wasn't a big Salt and Pepper guy.
That was a good album, the first one.
Is that the one with, Let's Talk About Sex, Baby?
No.
No?
No. That just put, it was Push It, and I knew Push It and that song. That's it.
Those are the
that's
two.
That's all I remember.
Right. But they weren't, that wasn't on the first album?
I don't think so.
How many albums did they have?
I'm really at my limit of Salt and Pepper knowledge with the, My Mic Sounds Nice, check one.
They did the Waterfall song, didn't they?
That was not Salt and Pepper, was it?
That wasn't?
Wasn't that TLC?
Oh, they all sound the same to me.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm better with country music. You know, Brooks and Dunn, Garth Brooks, Shania.
That's surprising. I like the older country. Hank Williams Jr.
Older country. Roy Rogers, Buck Owens. That crew.
That
Charlie Daniels Band.
Yeah, that's a good one.
There you go. Montgomery Gentry.
Not so much.
No?
No.
All right. How about the new country? Country rock. Kid Rock and Hank Williams Jr. and
yeah, I like them.
All right. Okay, so we're live. So let's introduce ourselves. Hello, everyone. Holla. And we'll do two hollas. Holla, holla. Because it's Eminem, Marvin, and Matt. So I am Marvin B., your host. This is Podnuts show number 98. And with me tonight is our good friend Matt Rainey. Matt, how are you?
Well, I'm good, but I'm hurting. I had to shovel dirt for about 8 hours this weekend. 7 hours straight one day and an hour the next. And my shoulder is killing me.
So, was that a honeydew punishment?
No, she's out there helping me.
Oh.
And my daughter.
Oh, family quality time.
They wouldn't call it that, but...
I had some of that last night. We were we had bulk trash pickup this morning, so we were out back pulling down some of our bushes and pulling down some of a falling down fence. So we got about 30% of it done last night.
Well, I had a driveway poured, and they scraped a yard, you know, got rid of the dirt to pour the driveway, and they just put the dirt in my yard. The price didn't include haul away of the dirt, and I thought, I'm not paying $350 to haul away dirt. I'll do it myself. Oh, I think that would have been a good $350
spent. I was going to say, $350 divided by 8 divided by 3 of you?
Yeah. My wife was mad when I told her when we were done about that offer. I said, I'll tell you what, I'll take you to Chick-fil-A. We'll call it even.
Oh, that's a bonus. And did you offer to drive too, just to sweeten the deal?
I did drive. My shoulder was hurting so much, it hurt the drive. I can barely lift my arm up. It was terrible. It still hurts. I think I pulled something. Oh.
Sorry to hear that. My back hurt a little bit, but the bulk of my stuff was, you know, I've got one of those pole saws that, you know, usually cuts down the branches of the trees, but I can shorten it so I could use it to cut the bushes.
Without bending over?
Absolutely.
Not the intended use, but...
It worked. So I would cut, and she would carry stuff around front, and then...
Oh, come on. You should let her cut, and you carry stuff.
Just, you know, listen... She was hauling stuff out there before I even got out. She had been working for like half an hour. She does stuff without me. It's almost like I'm Mr. Inside, she's Mrs. Outside, because she mows the lawn.
You should have just stayed inside.
Well, normally I do, but I kind of felt bad.
Let's see how far you can push that.
Oh, trust me, I've pushed it far enough.
Stick it out the window and say, hey, when you're done with that, can you make me some lunch?
Listen, this is how bad it gets sometimes. She'll be out there working. I'll pop open the sliding glass door to see how she's doing, and the cats come. So I'll feed the cats and then go back inside.
Mm-hmm. That's nice. One less thing for her to do.
Yeah. I mean, hey, I'm helping out. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you are paying attention, once again, we have no Obando, and just the perils of a working tech. Sometimes you just got to pay the bills.
He is busy.
He's a busy man.
Wish we could help him out. We could help him with some of his work. Clear some off his plate. That'd be kind of... But you know, I can't go to Oregon.
I can't either. Although I would have gone to get that beard beer.
Yeah.
But just to let you know how strong that offer is, I wouldn't pay to have the beard beer shipped to me.
Well, they wanted $20 for one bottle.
$20 to ship one beer.
Yeah, not worth it.
I wasn't sold enough on the beer. But you'd probably pay $20 to have that that empty bottle of blue stuff.
I would. I pay $20 shipping for the couple of bottles I had already.
From England.
Ah, yes.
And nobody...
Hey, shout out to Chris. Chris, look, he thought he could find a bottle for me, but he couldn't. And he had the same luck I had. People say they have it, and when they go to put eyes on it, it's not there. But he tried. I appreciate the effort.
Was Chris over in England?
No, Chris, he's in Alabama.
Alabama. Why would they have that in Alabama and not anywhere else? Well,
they did.
Obviously, they didn't, but what would make somebody think that that type of... Because that's an expensive drink, right?
No, it's a cheap... I mean, bottles, you know, under $30 normally.
Is that expensive?
I'm sorry.
For me, yeah.
Oh.
But I'm not a big connoisseur of the drink. I mean, I'll get a $9 bottle of wine from Publix.
Some cold duck.
I do buy my imported beers. I mean, I do buy the Yingling and the Molson. Well, Molson's not imported. Heineken Light, Grolsch beer. I'll drink the heavy expensive stuff.
I don't drink beer, but I'll spend $30 on Amaretta. I got a nice bottle of rum, but that was like $80. That's some expensive, but I'll drink the liquor. I'll spend more for that.
Well, liquor, that's different. I mean, we've got some expensive liquor out in the garage, in the freezer. Some nice Absolute liqueur.
Yeah, I'll spend money on that. A beer? Nah. And $30 for a bottle of Amaretto, that's a no-brainer. That stuff's so good.
Is that the same Amaretto that they put in Amaretto Sour?
Yeah, as long as you use Di Serona Amaretto, the good stuff. All right. I don't like Amaretto Sours. I like just the Amaretto.
So pretty much what I would do when I go out, it's two drinks, $20 max. That's how I gauge my drinking.
Yeah. See, I don't drink out. I might get a margarita. I hate paying that much for drinks. I'll just go home and drink my own drink. I'm a cheapskate.
Yeah, I do that a lot too. The fridge is full. All right. So now that we've given everybody some tips on drinking, let's do some tech. So what do you have for tonight?
I got a few stories, and two of them are because clients try and do things themselves.
Oh, the ID10T client.
Yes. So the first one is going to be a shorter one. Actually, they used Mosey Pro for their backup.
Okay. So just so you know, a lot of techs I know use Mosey Pro. I have used Mosey Pro in the past.
And that's not the problem.
Mosey Pro for business.
That's not where they messed up.
Okay, good.
Because it worked for years. But they went from a domain environment to peer-to-peer. They got rid of their server. And when we did this, I told them, I know you have Mosey Pro. They pay for a year at a time.
Right.
I said, make sure that you go and cancel your Mosey Pro because you don't have the server anymore. Everything they do now is in the cloud. So make sure you cancel it. Well, I had a note, an old note in my calendar of when their Mosey Pro renewed. Now, we don't manage it, and normally I wouldn't even care, but they're a smaller client, and I know they have some issues. I helped them out because last year, it was 1 year it expired, and they didn't know, so they weren't backing up for a while. So in my calendar, I still had the expiration date on a yearly recurring reminder. So it was still there, and I know when they had that problem, they just put it on auto-renew. Here's my card, do auto-renew. Years ago. Well, it popped up today, and I said, I wonder if they canceled their Mosey Pro. So I called her, and I said, hey, just checking. Did you cancel the Mosey Pro? Oh, yeah, we canceled that. I said, okay, let's just double check. What's the login? So she looked up the login. I looked it up, and they did not cancel it. In fact, they were charged today for $956. And when I called them, it was 11:30, so they got the charge the few hours before I called to remind them. I said, well, now you've got to call them. And the backup status says hasn't backed up in 200 and something days or something. I said, you need to call them, and you need to show them that the server hasn't backed up in this long and try and get them to reverse those charges, because you should have canceled this. And they may tell you tough luck. Hopefully they don't, but you need to cancel it. And she was, of course, thankful that I called, but mad that they didn't cancel it. And she tried to blame someone else. Well, so-and-so was supposed to cancel it. I said, but the email address, is the login is yours. Did you give her your login for her to go cancel? Because she created it. Why would she expect someone else to cancel it? She's the one who created it. Anyway, I don't care who gives blame, but my reminder, I guess I deleted the remind me a week prior, because I got the reminder today, and that's when it got charged. And again, every year when it came up, I tried to get them to switch to the mob,
right?
And they never would, even though the mob would have been cheaper. Would it have been cheaper? Let's just say $50 a month. Yeah, it would have been cheaper, but they didn't want to switch. So now they paid $950 for a year, unless you can get that reversed.
Oh, joy. So I have a similar story where I have a customer that is now a client, and they became a client in November of last year after I had serviced them for the previous 3 years. And this was a client that, first of all, they're in Miami, and I live in Fort Lauderdale, and I hate driving to Miami. But one of my customers that I've had forever, who had downsized his business, was working out of his house for a while, moved in with this customer. They had no tech support, so he recommended me. So, of course, I didn't want to upset him, so I went down to take care of this customer. First thing I had to do for them was rebuild their server. Did that. But when it came time to really take care of their network, I told them, I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't keep driving to Miami to give you, you know, first-class service on a second-hand price. So I said, the only way I'll do this is for you to go on a monthly service plan with me, and I'll take care of as much as I can remotely. I'll still come on site when I have to, but 90% of the stuff that they needed was stuff I could do remotely or could have been taken care of on one of our support plans with all the patches and updates and virus protection and all that. So they finally agreed. And one of the things that they wanted taken care of, they wanted everything in their office backed up, including the workstations. So I said, well, that's not a problem. I'll put everything on our managed backup plan. So I gave them the prices, and they agreed to do the workstations, but not the server, because they were backing up the server with iBackup. And it was costing them like $9 a month when they paid a year in advance or whatever like that. And so I said, fine, but that's your backup. That's not something that we're going to maintain or watch for you or anything. So they've had it. So at the end of last year, now that we were on a plan, they sent an email right before they disappear before Christmas Eve saying they want to have everything verified that it's working, all the backups, all of this. So I send them all the documentation, show them that the mob is backing up, and everything's good, I think. So January, when they come back, they get an email or something happens where they log into their iBackup account and find out that it hasn't been backing up. And they want me to tell them why. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't manage that for you. Well, it turns out they changed the password logging into the website sometime last summer. And of course, they didn't tell me, and they didn't log into the server to change the password there. So every email that they should have been getting would have said account authentication failed, backup not complete. They wanted to blame that on me. I said, no, cannot do that. Sorry. So we went in and fixed it, got them back up and running. Their backups are good, and I verified that they were receiving the backup email, and I said, if you want us to take care of it, we can do that. No, because you'll charge us. I think my fee would have been like $75 a month for their server.
So they understand that in the end, you were not responsible for that backup.
Yeah.
Because if they want you to be responsible, they have to pay for it.
Right. That's
nice.
Yeah.
I had another backup issue where the person who was monitoring the backups just one day left. She didn't come back to work. Just at lunch, she just left. And that was months and months ago. Just left. So, and I didn't know, because we don't manage our backup. It's backup exec on their server. Mm-hmm. And they don't pay us to monitor that. So I didn't even know that she was the one who changed the tapes and got the email backup notifications. So they called one day because they decided to check on it. Oh, they checked her mail. And there was failed backup emails. So they want me to look at it. So I go and look at it, and not one good backup in months. I can't even, the logs don't even go back far enough for me to see when the last good backup is. And the problem, it's a simple fix, all the backups are timing out. At 12 hours, I found it's set to auto-cancel the job. So at 12 hours, it was canceling. So I unchecked that, and it ended up taking 13 and a half hours, and it was successful. But I do remember, and maybe it was me, setting that 12-hour timeout, because with backup exec, if you didn't have a timeout, the backup job would just run and run and run and run, waiting for a tape, right?
Yep.
And if the backup runs and runs and runs and runs, waiting for a tape, no one gets an email.
They don't check those anyway, so.
Well, she was checking. The girl was checking it before, and they check them now. But
were they rotating the tape, though, thinking that it was
Well, she was, because she wasn't getting any emails, but it was never completing.
Right.
But that's why in the past I had set the auto-cancel, because if it cancels, usually get an email. If it doesn't cancel, I've seen jobs said running time 487 hours, right? It just keeps running and running, and no one gets an email because it's still running. So in the past, back in the day, I would always set an automatic cancellation. And back then, their backup may have lasted 4 hours, and now it's taking 13. Hmm. But so that was their problem. And they're discovering lots of things that this girl was doing that no one has been doing in the past few months. So
another thing is, she left. Nobody thought to forward her mail, or they just finally got around to checking.
When they told me she left, because clients don't often tell us when they fire somebody, when someone quits, when they get abducted by aliens and don't show back up to work. They were telling me, when they called about the backup and told me she was gone, I said, well, we need to disable her account. I can forward her email. What she was doing is she was logging in as her, and she says, I try and remember to open up Outlook on her when I log in as her. But yeah, she was forgetting most of the time. And apparently she wasn't even paying attention to the backup exec emails until I told her to look for them. Well, she was looking for emails from customers. So her solution was, we don't need IT involved.
Right.
I can just log in as her.
Yeah, take care of the customer stuff. That's what's important. Get paid.
So they lose their customer data. So I said, in the future, when an employee leaves or quits or fires, you need to let us know. Because one, I usually disable their account. I disable Active Sync if they have an Exchange server. Because, you know, even if you disable the account, ActiveSync is still going to work for
Absolutely.
A while. Because ActiveSync does not check in. Once ActiveSync on your phone checks in, it might not check in for a week. It just keeps thinking you're authenticated.
Yep.
Which is why a company that has password policies, they change their password, and their phone keeps working. And they think, oh, my phone's working. I don't need to change the password. When the phone at some point decides to re-authenticate, it locks them out. And they don't know what it is. So, yeah, that's one tip. Disable auto-sync. Go into mailbox features and disable active sync, even if you disable the account. That way, right away, they're not going to be able to check their phone.
So here's a question. On all of my customers that we are actually either doing a service plan or managing their server, one of the things that I do is we put on a auditing program that will let us know people that haven't logged in for a while. Do you have anything like that?
No. I've seen those, but we haven't used those. And there's some place I need to do that because they have hundreds of accounts, and I'm sure that some of them are not. What do you put the threshold to be notified?
I do it for 7 days, just so that way I'll just say, hey, is such and such, and I'll call the HR department or I'll call the manager. And, you know, a lot of times I'll just ask, hey, I know that notice they haven't logged in for a week. By chance, are they on vacation or something like that? And they'll, you know, oh, yeah, or no, that person's gone. Because I think I used to do it for 30 days, but then people would be upset because we didn't disable their account fast enough. And, of course, I would love to just tell them, say, well, you've got to let me, yeah, you let me know. I'll disable it right away. Oh, but aren't you monitoring? I said, well, I can't monitor if people are there or not there. I don't have, you know, I can put a camera in or I can put a time clock in and have you everybody clock in.
The threshold's 3 days or 7 days. So that means even if I'm monitoring it, they have 6 days completely free access, which you don't want them to have access. So when you tell them they're fired, tell me that they were fired. That drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
When clients let people go, this is a funny email. I got an email a week or two back, and let's just say I got it on the 5th. I don't remember the exact date, but the email it said, hey, disable this person as of the 1st, as of like February 1st. And I replied, I can disable it now as of the 5th, but I can't go back and disable it as of the 1st. You understand how time is linear, right?
This is not the space-time continuum.
She's like, oh, I know. I just meant that he was fired on the 1st. And I said, okay, and next time let me know on the 1st if he's fired on the 1st. Because he said, and then, of course, I say, well, has he logged in? I don't know. We're not auditing logins. Do you want to audit logins? Do you want us to monitor logins? We can set up a agreement for that if you need to. Oh, how much would that cost? So much. Oh, well, no, we'll just call you when. Yeah, that's a good idea. Disable. I like that when I got it. Disable him as of 4 days ago.
Yeah.
Not quite how that works.
Yeah. My best customer would actually, it was great because they would call like the day before if they knew they were going to fire somebody. I'm like, we're going to fire this person tomorrow. Can you be here or can you take care of it? And we had an arrangement to where when they called the person, you know, to come into HR or whatever, there were two processes. One, I was either at the office, and this was an office where I would go all the time, so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't odd for me to just be there. But it'd be funny if I came at like 4 o'clock, they would be like, oh, who's getting fired today?
Yeah, you should have like a black shirt all the time. When you go for that, you always wear a black shirt. And when you're there for other reasons, you don't wear a black shirt.
Well, the joke was we'd come in with an empty box. And so this is for your stuff. And when they go into the HR office is when we disable the account, log off the computer, do all of that stuff. And it was great. I mean, that customer was fantastic with that. And
when you walk in, you just look at somebody and just point to them.
That's right.
Just to freak them out. Now, we get that. We get those calls, too. If it's somebody like higher up, we'll get a call saying, can you be around, you know, at noon or at 5? And when I say around, I mean, we do that remotely.
Right.
I don't go on site for that, but they'll say, we're going to let you know, just it'll be right about noon and right about 5, we're going to do this, and we'll email you and then just disable them right away. Yeah.
Well, the great thing about going on site was I could take a flash drive, and this was back when they were allowing staff to store personal stuff on the computers, which was ridiculous, but
right.
You know, they always wanted to take their stuff with them. I have pictures on there, and so what they would do is go into HR, I'd go in, back up their, you know, profile, any personal documents, and basically I'd be standing outside the HR door when they came out. I'd hand them their personal flash drive, and say, here you go.
You should wrap it up in a little box or with a ribbon on it, like a present. Brighten their day a little bit.
We'd like to thank you for your service.
here's a going away flash present. Drive with a company logo.
Actually, I put my logo on with my phone number and say, when you get to your next job, call me. Of course, they usually hate me because, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
It's not my job.
Oh, that's always fun.
Yeah.
I get a call, and they'll say, hey, we let go of so-and-so. I'm like, what? Like, it's a high-up person or it's somebody you never thought they'd let go. And when they do call us, it's sometimes shocking of this kind of thing, but.
Yeah. So, hey, I'm going off topic, and
have we been on topic? Okay.
Well, I'm just we're taking a left turn, Clyde. Have you used your fluke yet?
So, I mean, we should tell people that there was a buy one, get one free fluke promotion, right?
At the end of the last year, yes.
Right. And so, Marvin and I went on a buy one, get one free. And these things are expensive. So it was nice to get a buy one, get one free. And when did we get them? We got them.
I think it was like January. Actually, I got it. I don't know. I think I got it December 30th, but we didn't ship it to you until January 3rd or 4th or something.
Okay. So I've not even touched it yet. I almost touched it a week or two ago. It's sitting on a table in my office, and I see it every day.
Is it under a little plexiglass box, and you're afraid to touch it? Because
once in a while, I'll pick it up and look at it. I did charge it, and every day when I have to walk by it to get to my desk, and every day I look at it thinking, I really need to go play with this thing. But we've been busy, so. And that's no excuse. I could use it at my house or after hours or something. But like today, I got to the office at 8:10, and I didn't leave till 6:15, and I didn't have one break the whole day. Yesterday, I got there about 8, left at 6. I didn't even get lunch. I had to work through lunch. I didn't even get to leave for lunch. So my days have been – so that's my excuse.
All right. Well, I wasn't really asking that to put you. Well, yes, I was.
Yeah, you were.
I was, but I was. I wanted to say that I wanted to follow up a story that I had told probably a couple weeks ago about one of the cable guys that ran the cables and had 4 out of 22 fail, and we were talking about what a great batting average that was.
Right.
So I met the guy last Thursday. Because I had sent him the email saying, hey, 4 cables are bad. Can you come out and fix them? And he was so apologetic, was so upset that they were failing, and he would come out and take care of it. So I happened to be there looking for another cable that another company ran that nobody knew where it went to. So I was toning that out, and he showed up. And so he had a list of the cables that were bad, and he went and fixed the first one and came back, and he goes, all right, that should be good. Can you put your tester on? Now, just to let you know, he did have a tester with him, and he claimed that it worked for him. So I put my fluke on, and it came back bad. And he just, I mean, it was like, I could, it's hard to describe the facial expression when a cable guy is looking at you thinking, I know I ran a good cable, but your tester is obviously better than mine. Long story short, we finally got 2 of the cables fixed, and 2 of them he has to come back because apparently the panel itself, I don't know how it's bad or why it's bad, but he ended up having to move the cable from the port that it was on the panel to another port in order to make it work.
Yeah.
And so when it finally tested good, all he could say is, I got to give me one of those. I just got to give me one of those. And I said, all right.
Well, if he just wants to test cables, he doesn't need that one, but.
No, he doesn't. But the cable tester, I don't even know the name of the one he had with him, but it was better than the 4 blinking green or red lights, but I don't know why that didn't pass mine when it did pass his. Now, and just so that people know, the fluke that I have is not technically a cable tester or cable verifier or cable certifier. It's the Fluke Network One Touch tool. So it's mainly for us to do network discovery, find devices on the network. It does basic testing of all those functions. It will even do basic tests of fiber. But most cable companies and cable guys should have a cable certifier that will actually certify the cable, tell you the length, tell you the BERT signal, tell you, you know, if there's crosstalk, do all of those things. My Fluke doesn't do that, but it certainly does a good job of, you know, testing a cable.
One of those. We have one of those also. We use that a lot too.
Yeah. And the cost, I mean, I guess it's a lot too, but it's not as much as the One Touch. The DSX, I forget what numbers they're on. They're on 4,000 or 5,000 now.
I like the little golf putter thing that it came with.
The Wi-Fi tester. The Wi-Fi antenna. Yep, the golf flag.
I was putting a golf ball around with it. Hope it didn't mess it up.
So, yeah, so that was just an update to that, that he came back out and still was having trouble telling whether his cables.
So what was it failing with? Oh, was it open pins? Or?
Yes, yeah, there was open pins. And it was funny because I actually got to the point where I had to tell him, okay, based on the length of the failure, it's got to be right here at the panel. Because I had a 3-foot cable, and three of the cables sets, three of the pairs would, you know, test out to 100 and something feet, and then one pair would test out at 3 feet. And I'm like, it's here at the panel. Because he was going to the jack on the other side of the building and changing that. And I'm like, well, that side's probably good. It's failing here. So that's when he finally got behind the panel and looked. But that was an update. All right, so back to your ID10T corner stories.
Okay, I got one. I'll do the other one, the other client, and the self-inflicted story before the next one. So another client, before they used us for IT work, they always registered their own domain names at whatever provider they wanted. So when we took over, we've never managed their domain name. They've always done that. Well, they called yesterday, and they said their website was down. Can I help them? Well, I'm thinking, one, we're not your web hosting company. We're not website design. I'm not sure why you're calling me. I'm thinking. I said, well, I can take a look at it. I'm not sure if I can help you, but I'll take a look. So I go to the site, and of course, the site doesn't come up. First thing I always do is NS lookup, check the domain registration, and the domain said expired 3 days ago. 3 days ago. So for 3 days, they haven't had email. They just didn't even notice that. They noticed their website wouldn't come up. So you do the NS, you look at the name servers, and name servers are now, you know, if you don't renew your domain, the registrar puts in their own little
right
name servers with whatever they want, and it just basically points to saying you didn't pay or something.
Na, 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 na.
So they took over, they changed their name servers, and so nothing was working. So I called her, and she's emailing me the whole time, because you can email out, you know, and you just can't get mail. So I called her, and I said, okay, the problem is bigger than you realize. Your email's down, too. Did you not notice your email is down? And she said, oh, no, we're getting email. I said, you might be getting some email. You might be getting internal email, and you can send email. And then I realized, wait a minute, y'all have two domain names. Their old domain name is not expired. So if people were using their old domain name to email, they were getting that. But they weren't getting email, of course, on the new domain that expired. So we had to find out. They don't have much documented, but I was able to find out where it was registered, go into the registration, and the email address of the person as the owner and the admin and tech contact were from somebody who hadn't been there in years. And the saved credit card, it was on auto-renew. The saved credit card must have been his personal card, they said. He had been gone for years, but yet it got renewed last year, which means that guy probably paid to renew his old company's domain name for a year and the web hosting, which I'm going to get to. So they said, well, can you renew it? Yes, I'll renew it for you. We'll just bill you back for it. So I go to renew it, and it says, no, but you can't renew just the domain name. You have to renew everything. I mean, everything, what's everything? I dig further, and the web hosting expired, the site lock, the domain, and the domain privacy. But here's the thing. The site is not hosted there. The site content is somewhere else. But they didn't cancel their web hosting with this registrar. So as far as the registrar is concerned, you have a domain hosting account. It doesn't matter that you're not using it. You have it, and it's past due. So I start a chat with support, and I'm trying. And this is taking like 2 hours. This is why I missed lunch, because I was doing this through lunch. So I'm chatting with the people, and I said, "Look, the domain hasn't been hosted here, hasn't been on here for almost a year. I need to get the shared web hosting, the site lock invoices removed, so I can renew the domain name." And the finally is, "Okay, we're going to remove the web hosting packages. It'll take up to 72 hours." for that to reflect the change. And I'm typing something of an effect of, well, I need to renew the domain name now. I can't wait 72 hours for the invoice to be gone from this portal. I need to do it now. And what I got back was, this chat has ended. Click here for an email transcript. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Normally, you got to tell them 10 times you're done, right?
Oh, yeah.
They just ended it. And it probably said, customer is typing. Because I was typing. And then I got session in the chat closed. Thank you for your service. Like, oh, my God.
So maybe it was the end of their shift.
They did a dog bird to me. You know, the dog bird where he says, he closes tickets. He said, how can you say my problem is resolved? I still have the problem. And Dogbert says, well, resolved is a catch-all term. It can be anything from shift change to accidental disconnect. So anyway, I go find the ticket that's open because a chat created a ticket in their system. And I put my reply in there. And I'm waiting. I wait a few minutes and I think, you know what? This is ridiculous. I called the client back and I said, look, they're telling me it can take up to 72 hours to remove the invoice so we can pay the domain renewal. What I'm suggesting to you is pay everything. Pay it all and then fight with them to get the refund of what they're canceling. And he said, well, I don't want to pay for things we aren't using. Why do I want to pay for the web host? I said, okay, the web hosting is $146. Do you want to be down 3 more days with email, or do you want to pay $146 now and hope to get a refund? And they had to discuss this. In the end, they said, okay, go ahead and renew it. I said, no, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to do a remote session on your computer. You're going to renew it with your credit card because I don't want to pay on my credit card. I'm going to have to bill you the whole thing. Then if you fight for them to get a refund, it's going to refund my card, then they got to refund you. We're not playing that game. You could put your credit card in on the portal, and you can get a refund. So in the end, they paid an extra $146, but we got the domain name renewed. And, of course, you know that when you renew an expired domain name, it doesn't come back right away.
No, absolutely not.
So they said, okay, it's work. I renewed it. When will it start working? I was like, well, it'll start working in 1 to 12 hours, I'm guessing.
What's your TTL?
And they said, well, that's we paid it now to get up now. I said, no, you paid it now to not have to wait those 72 hours. If you waited 72 hours and did this, there's still going to be time after that. Now, they started working a few hours later, but they talked about it for 15 minutes if they wanted to pay the $146, but then were impatient about it wasn't up fast enough after they paid, which I think is funny. So anyway, in the end, I said, we changed all the contact information to be somebody that's there now. Luckily, the person who registered the domain used, at the time, their only domain name. Because in order to do what I did, I had to go into the girl's account who was going to manage it and add that old address as an alias for her so right. She could get email on that old account to her account. Because email that person to confirm everything we were doing.
Right,
so she
absolutely.
Got those emails to confirm everything. Luckily, that's the account to use and didn't use some kind of personal account because that would have been a lot harder. So that's what they get by trying to manage this themselves, having to pay extra down. And can you believe 3 days they didn't notice they weren't getting an email?
I'm shocked because most of my customers notice in 10 minutes if they haven't gotten an email that they're expecting.
I have clients call me, yeah, my email's not working. Why do you think your email's not working? Because I've only gotten 6 emails this morning. I usually get like 10.
Right, yes.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Do you really want me to look into this? Because I'm going to bill you. Oh, yeah, I need to know if it's working. Okay, I'm going to send you a test email. Did you get it? Yes. Okay, email's working. I'm going to close the ticket now.
That's right.
And you're going to get that email with the invoice, too. So.
But why didn't I get those other emails?
Yeah, they say that all the time. I say, "What emails didn't you get?" Well, I don't know. You don't know what you didn't get. Yeah, they say, "How am I supposed to know what I didn't get?" I agree. Did someone call you telling you that I sent you an email and you didn't get it, or they got a bounce back? Well, no. Well, then there's nothing to be worried about. I usually say, You know, when the mailman passes at my house, I sometimes get one letter. I sometimes get two magazines and three pamphlets. But when I don't get anything, I don't chase the mailman down asking if they know how to do their job or not. Absolutely. Hey, you missed me. Yep. Where's my mail?
That's exactly the thing I was going to say, that I always ask him, if you go home and there's no mail, do you call the post office and ask why you got no mail?
I didn't get any mail today. Right. They think because it's digital, it's something magical thing. Yeah. So that's two people who pay money they shouldn't.
So, I realize I'm asking you a question that even myself would not be able to answer properly all the time. But normally, when we take over a customer, even if we're not going to manage that stuff, we always like to get the information so we know where stuff is. And for domain, I always like to be either on their account as the technical contact or something, just so that, you know, as part of Discover, we know where the domain is and all that stuff. And I think we've talked about this before, but in this case, it sounds like you guys didn't push to get all that information, so at least you would have it. But is that a case where they said they wanted to handle it, and you just say, all right, fine, yeah, whatever?
Yeah, they want to handle it. They didn't, because we normally, what we'll do is we want to transfer the domain to our register account with OpenSRS, because we can manage it. We can manage the domain, the DNS. We can manage it all. And some clients just say, no, we don't want to move it. We want to take care of it.
Well,
I probably have emails somewhere from them where we suggested they move it and they declined. But
I don't mind if they move it. Just put me on as a contact so that if anything happens, I can call in on your behalf.
Yeah.
And work.
This client's kind of touchy. They're peculiar. And this is one of those things where they didn't want us. I think they thought it was better to separate it, that we weren't doing everything, that in case we disappeared, they can still manage the domain name. So they didn't want us to be involved in that part, but they weren't doing their part. Yeah. So they noticed, how many customers noticed that they can't get to their, and this is not any website where customers are going, it's just an informational website. Here's what we do, here's our name. I wonder how they even noticed that that was down, but didn't notice their email was down.
Customer probably called them and said, hey, you know your email, your website's down?
I should have emailed them, told them
that. That's right. I've been trying to email you.
I emailed like 30 times. That's like the people who try and print the same print job 30 times.
Yep, absolutely.
And they call you and say, it's not, I've tried everything.
The printer's not.
And I say, by everything, did you mean print 30 times? I see the same print job 30 times in the queue.
Did you try turning it off and on again?
Well, no, I didn't try that.
Oh, look at that. It's printing. Now it's printing my thing 30 times.
Can we stop it? Yeah, just give it a minute. Is it stopped now? Yeah, okay, it's fixed. Now, an interesting call I got was somebody, and normally I think this is user inflicted too. A client forwarded me, or she emailed me saying that people are trying. What was it? She was emailing a bunch of people. Two of them bounced back. And I said, forward me the bounce back messages. And they were generic. It just said something about address rejected.
So nothing. 557, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So I go look at, I do my SMTP Diag. I do one test, the first one, it goes through fine. I do a test, the second one, it says the same thing, address rejected. Then while I'm testing, she emails me, it looks like it's only things with attachments. I say, well, that's something. How big is the attachment you're trying to send? What's a common answer you get when you ask how big the attachment is?
Oh, I don't know. How can I tell?
It's only one page or two pages. No, not how many pages it is. That's like saying, how much is this house for sale? Well, it's four bedrooms.
Yeah.
Okay, but how much is it?
It's one picture.
Yeah. I said, okay. So I called her, show her how to see how big how large the attachment is. It's only 40K. I said, okay, but that's not the issue. I said, send it to me. I want to see what happens if you send it to me. And what do I get? She's emailing a PDF. I get a windmill.dat.
Oh,
attachment.
The joyful windmill.
Yes. So, she emailed this to a bunch of people in two bounced back. I had her send me two or three tests, and all of them were windmill.dat. So I told her, all these emails you sent out yesterday, they're all windmill.dat. No one got whatever attachment you're sending. And she said, well, nobody called me. I said, they probably just ignored whatever you sent them. But they're all going out windmill.dat. So, I mean, this is an easy fix. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but windmill.dat is caused when it goes through Exchange or Outlook and it's trying to format it. It's a formatting issue.
Right.
So it can go into Exchange, and I just set it in the Exchange to never use rich text format.
Yep.
Do a test. Boop. Goes through fine. PDF open fine. So, again, something – and this is a problem even with hosted Exchange. You may need to go into your hub transport and tell it never use rich text format. So that's a tip. Don't use rich text format if you're seeing windmill.dat. Or if you're getting windmill.dat, you can ask the sender to just send it to you not using rich text format. And, of course, they won't know how to do that. You can tell them how to do it on a case-by-case basis in Outlook, right?
Yep.
You just go into format.
Format, HTML, or plain text.
Interesting enough, though, when I did that on her computer in Outlook to send me a test, it still came through as windmill.dat. It wasn't until I set on the server to never use it that I got it correctly.
Was the attachment embedded in the email?
No.
So I've seen that where people are sending from their mobile device.
And yeah.
It's actually embedded, so it doesn't treat it like an attachment.
Right. And this is from a computer in Outlook. It was funny because I'm troubleshooting, and you might get this a lot too. I said, tell me the whole process of what you're doing. She says, well, I scan this paper, and it goes from the scanner to there. It emails them directly. I said, okay. This is before I knew it was a windmill.dat. I said, okay, let's do this. Let's just scan it to your computer. I want to test. Scan it to your computer. We'll go into Outlook, and we'll create the email, and then we'll do attach file, click the paperclip, and find the file. Well, I want to do that every time I send this email. I get that all the time. It was in the troubleshooting. Troubleshooting. I just want to see what happens. I'm not telling you that you get to do it every time. We're going to troubleshoot. And that's when I saw the windmill.dat. So anyway, then I had her do it. And then it's not going from the scanner directly, because you might think, well, the scanner's sending the email out, you know, it's got a connector.
Right.
Right. And it's going out through Exchange. No. It scans to Outlook, and Outlook pops open with an email. It wasn't even, she said scanning directly, but it wasn't. So after we figured it out, I said, I'll do the whole process start to finish the way you want, and I'll make sure I get it. And I got it. But it's also funny that those things yesterday that she was sending, you know, in the WatchGuard, we use one of the filters by default is to reject any, if you use an SMTP proxy and you leave the defaults, windmill.dat will be rejected.
Right.
So I usually remove windmill.dat so the email's not rejected. So out of all the people she sent, two of them must have had something in place that saw they had a windmill.dat and rejected it. And she says she probably sent 50 or 100. That's a small percentage of people checking with some kind of advanced detection in their email, don't you think? Unless the other one just got rid of the windmill.dat issue too.
Or they didn't open the email. They probably saw it because some filters will just, if it's a bad attachment, will just either filter it out and they don't know that they didn't get it, or it goes in their spam.
Yeah, see, nobody called her. I said, I'm surprised. Somebody got a windmill.dat and knows it and didn't bother telling you. I said, you may want to just resend everything, but she didn't want to do that. She goes, I can see it fine on my computer. Right. Because
yeah.
You did. It's not going through email. Right. Anyway, windmill.dats can be annoying. And where you see it a lot is mobile devices, like you said.
Yeah.
And from there, the only thing you can do is on the Exchange, tell it never use rich text format.
Right. Because your iPhone isn't going to allow you to switch.
No. Will the Android phone?
I don't
use them.
I don't either. Well, that's something to ask the Android app addicts. We'll see if the door-to-door geek can tell us.
Huh. I wonder if Outlook for iOS does it.
I
have Outlook for iOS.
You want to forward me your windmill.dat, and I'll see if...
I'm going to go in the settings and see if I can do it. This is a good podcast.
Actually, I have it, but I don't use it. Where is it? There it is. Outlook. Oh, this folder is empty.
That's helpful.
I have no mail.
Hey, maybe your mail's not working.
I'm not getting
mail. You should open a ticket for that.
It's Marvin at podnuts.com. Nobody loves me.
All right, so I don't see any settings in here for that. So they must not have a setting. No, no setting for that. So that doesn't do it either.
All right.
Yeah, so you have to do it from Exchange.
Oh, yep, there's email. We have email.
We got a stack of emails.
We've got lots of email.
You want? I can read. Let's go over. Let me find my email.
We've got one, two. Well, we have lots of email from one person.
Okay, no, I got one that you didn't get. I'll read that one first.
That's from last week. That's an off-air thing. You got? Yeah. Okay. So.
Okay, so I got one from Kyle, which you didn't get.
Okay.
He sent it just to me. He says, "Hey, Matt. Very much enjoy the show. I wanted to get your opinion. Would using an RFID or something to assist in login change your opinion on using roaming profiles? Like a badge, make the employees carry it on them at all times. Automatically log them out when the ID moves away from the logged in computer. I could see some issues with computer labs where someone could be logged into multiple computers at once. I like roaming profiles, but it isn't my main go-to. Thanks again. Love the show. Can't wait for the next M&M show." So RFID tags that would automatically log you out. I would say no.
I would say no only because most of my customers wouldn't want to use an RFID tag.
Right. That's the main issue. There's a cost associated with that, implementing that, and then even if they win with a cost, what you gain is the ability to use roaming profiles, which I don't like. That's one issue with multiple logins, but also those profiles seem to be corrupted a lot. That was an issue I had a lot too, corrupt profiles,
right?
Roaming profiles. So I didn't like that they got corrupt a lot. The employees, even if the management wanted to do it, I could see the employees forgetting them. Washing them in their clothes. I'd almost like a little chain around their ankles, like a treadmill. If you fall off the treadmill, it disconnects.
Well, I've got one client where they actually have cards to get into their office. I mean, they're obviously a lot larger than an RFID tag, but the way that they love me now is because I actually bought them badge reels in order for them to have their cards clipped to their body or their purse or whatever so that they don't lose them because, they're either sticking them in a wallet or something, and with the badge reel they can just, whip it out and swipe the door thing to open it up and stuff. So that's how I do it. I do have another customer that does have the little key fobs for getting in and out, but I think it's only some of the staff because most of the staff don't have them because they're not coming in either before hours or they're not leaving late. So,
And I think that people who log into more than one computer, even if they're a business, do so because they don't want to log in and out.
Right.
So if you had one and he got logged out, went somewhere else, they probably wouldn't like logging in and out. So I don't know if I'd like the badges just because I don't like roaming profiles anyway.
Well, that's a two-part question, really.
Yeah.
Because one, if you're talking about RFID tags in a business, you're talking about security, and that's technically a different issue.
Well, yeah, he's saying that if it moves away, it would log them out. But again, the gain you get is the ability to use roaming profiles, which I wouldn't even call that a gain, really. So, but thanks for the email, Kyle. Sorry, it's just the M&M show tonight.
All right, I'm going to read one from Bradford, who coincidentally enough, his first line says, "I'm boycotting your show until Martin comes back." Just kidding, as a solo tech, he understands. But he writes, "Regarding the disappearing network shortcuts on the desktop, I have seen this prevalent in Windows 7 for years. It's maddening. I feel a little dumb. My solution was to add an if statement to their login batch file to check for the shortcuts and recreate them if they are missing. It's not too bad since all the computers have the same login script, so I can copy it to each computer, and it also fixes the problem if someone deleted a shortcut and it makes a new setup faster. Okay, I don't feel so bad now. And then finally he says, thanks for the scheduled task tip. I'll add this to my repertoire. And wish I could remember the exact episode, but that was just a couple of episodes ago. So either 95 or 96.
So am I correct in reading this that he's having login scripts on each local computer?
That's what it sounds like. I was just going to skip over that.
Okay. Okay.
Because remember Brad's networking environments, mostly there is no server in most of his environments.
Okay.
So he is creating login scripts to work locally that I guess would do all of the stuff that a group policy would do for creating map drives and all of that stuff.
I see. I got you. Because my next question was going to be login scripts. But yeah, if you don't have a server doing group policy, you have to use a login script. Actually, you could use local group policy to map drives too.
Well, you could, yeah. But you can't.
I'm not sure if I'd do that.
But
though.
You can't just copy a group policy from a thumb drive. I'm sure somebody's got a PowerShell script for that. But
could you export it and then import it?
I don't know.
I probably wouldn't do that. I'd probably just use login scripts too if I didn't have a server. In fact, I'm sure I would.
I would try to have a server, but the days
because I do have login scripts for a few clients that don't have servers, and I just create them on their local computer too. So that's what I do. That is easier to move around too if I need to.
Yeah.
Hopefully, he even hears this, right? Because once he heard Martin was on the show, he might have.
That's true. Already. He might be boycotting for a while. Why don't you read the next one?
This one is from Brad. I think it was sent right after the first one. In reference to the email about the WatchGuard router terminology, technically, if you want to get technical, modern routers often incorporate a router, a switch, and a Wi-Fi access point into one singular appliance. So, feel free to use any terminology freely. You can't go wrong. That's from Brad.
Well, apparently you can go wrong, which is why we say Sonic Wall and
WatchGuard.
I say tomato, and you say?
Tomato. Never said tomato.
I will say tomato.
I just threw away a Sonic Wall today.
I throw them away all the time.
We're cleaning out some of the stuff from the flood out of the containers.
Yeah.
And apparently I had a Sonic Wall, because in one of my boxes that I was packed up, there was a Sonic Wall. And I said, what's
that doing
this? Trash pile.
get out of here. Yeah, I've been tossing them because I've been doing the secure upgrade, and doing the secure upgrade invalidates the previous router appliance.
Okay, yeah. It's like a trade-up for a WatchGuard.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right, so next email. Told you we had a stack.
Who's this one from?
Let me see who this from. This is from Bradford, who writes, I loved CatMouse until I had issues with RDP. CatMouse doesn't seem to handle RDP well. Specifically, you won't be able to scroll at all in an RDP session. Sad trombone.
That'd be a deal breaker.
Sad trombone?
No, they're not scrolling. But sad trombones, too.
Well, isn't that the whole reason you guys were talking about the CatMouse was to fix a scrolling issue? Or was that something else?
Really, I don't remember.
Well, that was a Martin deal, so Bradford, you'll have to wait for Martin to come back.
Oh, it was scrolling, because...
That's what I thought.
I forgot. Speaking of that, though, you know I had the problem with Windows 10 and my computer locking up?
Yes.
Okay, so I've been on Windows 7, for at least a week now, and it has not locked up once.
All right.
Same hardware.
Testify.
Different OS, so definitely is Windows 10 with that drive. It's not an SSD. Well, it is an SSD. It's an M2.
The M2.
M.2 drive. Yeah. Oh, you know what I found? I found the
M.2.
I found that, but not. Yeah, that's in the trash now. One man's trash. So, we found an M.2 to SATA enclosure.
Oh.
So it looks just, if you looked at it, it looks just like a normal SSD drive. But you can open it up. And there's a slot for the M.2 that you can put it in there.
Two and a half. So it's a 2.5 inch.
Yes.
Okay.
I found some of those cases. Because those M.2 drives, And now if I need to read one on any other computer that doesn't have that, I can just pop it in that little adapter and read it.
So this is all stuff you found in the flood? These were just boxes, so wasn't in the same?
No, that I just bought. Oh. That I just bought, the M.2 adapter.
So you were perusing one of the big box stores.
No, this is online. We don't have big box stores around here. I wish we did. I have one big box store, but they don't have they have TVs and, you know.
All right.
Home line computers, but I don't have Fry's.
I don't have a Fry's.
I wish we did. I like Fry's.
We have Best Buy, which I hate going into there. We used to have CompUSA, which was Tiger Direct, but those are gone now. That's only online. And we have the wannabe office superstores, Staples, trying to get into the computer technology down here.
So we don't have Staples.
And they have those signs on the window, "We fix computers."
Those are awesome. Do they still do that, though? I know they gave us a lawsuit, or was that Office Depot?
It's the same company now. So.
So they had a lawsuit that they against them. I think they stopped doing that because of what's been reported about their practices.
Oh, I never used them, so I don't know. What were their practices?
Well, basically, it was in news a few weeks ago that their practice was, on any computer, they have to sell fixes and updates, even if nothing is wrong with the computer. So, and that was their training, that they have to sell stuff.
Okay, well, that's no different than the power companies making you buy stuff, or the cell phone companies making you pay, quote-unquote, government fees.
Well, this was, if you brought a computer and there was nothing wrong with it, they would still say it's infected and basically lying, you know. They would say, oh, you need a virus cleanup, you need a tune-up, you need this, you need that. Even on a brand new computer, they've had stings and they bring in computers that are fine.
Oh,
but yeah, their diagnosis is much worse.
Oh, this wasn't it. I'm sorry. I found a Office Depot to pay $68.5 million settlement to whistleblower. And I thought, but this was about something else. This was for overcharging public agencies for office and classroom supplies.
But they have some real bad practice at Office Depot. Maybe I shouldn't.
Here's one for the assistant managers win class suit in overtime wages lawsuit. Here we go. Office Depot allegedly diagnosing computers with non-existent viruses to meet sales goals.
Yeah, that's it.
Upselling customers on services they don't need. So it was the PC health check is what they were selling.
But then it would always find stuff too. You need this, you need that, you need a bunch of stuff.
Oh, kind of like the guy that called me earlier today. I'm with the Microsoft technical department. Your computer for the last 2 weeks has been showing errors in our logs.
Did they really call you?
Oh yeah.
I wish I'm gonna get a call like that.
They actually called the wife, and so she just comes in and hands me her phone when they do. And sometimes if I'm in a good mood, I'll just play along with them. But tonight I just was like, sorry, listen, before you even continue, I'm a Microsoft partner. I've been working in this area of network consulting for almost 20 years. You need to stop calling. Normally they would, you know, want to argue with me and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about, but tonight he just hung up right away.
I've never got a call like that.
So we get them probably every other week.
Of course, I don't usually. No one in my house answers their phone if they don't know who's calling. I answer it. I mean, what are you scared of? They're not going to come to the phone and get you just because you answer the phone.
I mean, they're either in India or.
I said, if you don't know who it is, just hang up. And that drives me up a wall, too. I said, what if I'm stranded somewhere and I'm using someone else's phone trying to call y'all? Y'all don't answer because you don't know who's calling. I said, answer the phone. And if you don't know who it is and you don't want to talk to them, just hit the button that hangs up.
Yep.
It's okay to hang up on people. Yeah, that drives me crazy.
So a lot of my customers would do that. But now they pick up because when I call from my cell phone, it's always a blocked number because I don't give out my cell phone. So a lot of times they will, when I call them, they'll say, oh, I thought you called me yesterday because I got another blocked number. And so I picked up and said, hey, Marvin, but it wasn't you.
See, we're testing a new phone system. The one we tested right now is from Sotel.
That's right. The one you did it last week, right?
Yeah. So I really like it. It's got an app for your phone. So if somebody calls that number, it'll ring my office phone. It'll ring my cell phone at the same time. I could pick up from my phone, and then I could transfer it back to my office phone.
Right.
But I can also call from it. So if I open the app, I can call a client from it, and it shows the office number. So I don't have to give out. And I never. And I would do the same thing you did. If I had to call a client, I would just block my caller ID for that call and call them. I don't leave it blocked all the time, but if I'm calling a client, I block it. This way, I don't have to do that. I can just call from the app, right, and they see that number calling.
Yeah, I just block mine all the time. So even my real friends don't know my cell phone number. But what I do is I say, well, call the home number, because I have the home number, which is also voice over IP. So that rings my home and my cell, which is great when when you go out. You know, we were out looking for furniture the other day. We bought some stuff for our patio, and they always want your cell phone number. And I'm like, no, here, call this number. Well, what number is that? That's my home number. Well, how? I said, it answers. It'll ring both the home and the cell. Don't worry about it.
Well, it's funny. When they ask me that, I say, I don't have a cell phone. I don't have a cell phone, and I'm holding it.
Right.
I don't have a cell phone, and I'm looking at it, like, on it. If it's anything, I say, that's an iPod.
So the app that you have, now, I've got my phone company also, we have an app, but they've had two versions of it, and I've tried it, and I hate it, because it is, even whether I'm on Wi-Fi or whether I'm on the cell service, it is so horribly choppy. And how is your quality with your app? Have you used it?
Oh, it's good. I've used it on Wi-Fi. I've used it on the network, and it's good. And it's instantaneous. If they call, some place we found, if they call the number, it might not ring your cell phone right away.
Right.
Especially if your cell phone's asleep, but this one will. Now, for my home, I have, what's that? I have some kind of voice. What is it?
Vonage?
Yes. I have Vonage in my house. And I had it to where I rang my cell phone when somebody called the house, but I had to turn that off. My phone was ringing all day long with these trash calls, especially during the election. So now if you call the house, it doesn't ring my cell phone. That was annoying. Is that who you have at your house, Vonage?
No, I've got a company out of California called Phone Power.
Okay.
But I'm looking because, I don't know. I got them probably 10 years ago, 8 years ago, somewhere in there, and they were the cheapest game in town, and the quality's good. Their app sucks, but the quality's good. But now there's so many other companies out there that have so many more features that this one doesn't have. So I'm looking, but I don't like Vonage. I don't like 8x8. I don't like Ring Central. So I'm looking, but I may have to look at your company. And
well, we're actually gonna move on and test something from 3CX.
Uh-huh.
They have ConnectWise integration, and they have their pricing's better, different and better. The problem with I like what we have now. We're testing. The problem is support, because we've called and emailed something to change something, and they won't get back to us for like 4 or 5 days. And so if we want to be a partner, and this is sales. If they're not going to take care of you while you're in the sales testing phase, how are they going to take care of you when you're already a customer?
Right.
So we're going to be testing other things, because we want to find something and settle on it, just like we settled on WatchGuard. We're going to find something and settle it, and we might test a bunch of companies. But once we settle on something, we'll use that, and then we'll start selling it.
So the Sotel, I mean, do they even have 24/7 support? Because that's one of my big problems with a lot of these companies. They'll have service from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and not on weekends. But a lot of times I need that support on a weekend. If I'm going into a customer to do stuff, I'll specifically go in on a Saturday when I can, shut stuff down, turn stuff up, test and all of that stuff. And that's when I want the support.
I'm pretty sure that they do. The ones we've been looking, yeah, they're all, I think they do. I can't say for sure, but not that I'm ever going to go in on a weekend and do that, but
that's just me for now. I mean, I may stop at some point, but
you got to stop that now or kill you. We're going all weekend, all weekend.
It's not all weekend. It's just Saturday mornings. I'm done at 12, 1 o'clock.
It's not for me. I'd already shoveled 4 hours of dirt by 12, 1 o'clock.
So I was going to ask you, when you were talking to the customer that, you know, they had to debate on spending $146 to be, you know, have mail before 72 hours, did you use that analogy that you had worked 8 hours on Saturday shoveling dirt when you when you could have paid X number?
No, but I did tell them, I'm already going to bill you 2 hours for all this. You already paid more than that, my 2 hours labor than this. So
what's
pay this.
What's another 146?
Yeah. I got to figure out what y'all did because y'all wouldn't let us be involved in it before now.
Let's just make it an even 500 for the day.
Yeah, that's fun that they had to think about that. I'm not sure what they're thinking. Yeah, good stuff.
All right. So, let's see. We have one more email. Where is it?
We do?
My app closed. Oh, maybe he sent it just to me. Maybe I'm special tonight, too. No, he sent it to all of us.
Oh.
Are these all on the same day? No, they're not. Oh, but it was on Valentine's Day. Have you found it yet?
No, you know, but I deleted some emails.
Oh, my goodness. 6:34 in the morning.
I probably deleted it.
Brad, what are you doing up at 6:34 in the morning, 5:44 a.m.?
He's listening to the show.
Yeah, love you for that. So I know why you probably deleted it, because it had my name in it. That's why you deleted it.
Oh, I know which one you're talking about. Yeah, that's why I deleted it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read it, which is self-promoting, but it's from a good friend, Brad. And after today's show, he's really a good friend. He writes, I got it, Marv. Hans, Booby, great Die Hard reference. It almost makes up for your I don't watch Star Wars statement. Almost, not quite, but almost.
I agree. Not quite.
Well,
you're really into go watch them all and report back.
I'm going to have to watch one before Harrison Ford hits a plane.
just start in the original order.
You mean episode 4, 5, and 6.
Right.
That's how they started, right?
Yeah.
Watch them
in original order so you can experience it the way the rest of the world experienced it.
Oh, I can't do that.
You'd be glad, because if you watch the first episodes 1, 2, and 3, you might be like, I'm not watching any more of this stuff.
way to sell.
I know.
All right. Well, so that ends our stack of email. And once again, we have really packed it in.
Yeah, we didn't have any dead air or anything.
Well, at least we didn't think it was dead air.
Hey, I got one email from a listener, and I'm not gonna say who it is, but he told me he's thinking about going to MSP World. If anybody else is thinking about going to MSP, I mentioned this before, right? MSP World?
You have.
It's in New Orleans. And don't say New Orleans. If you go, say New Orleans. You'll sound local.
New Orleans.
And that is in the March. Look it up. MSP World. I'm going. If you're going, shoot me an email. matt@podnuts.com. And let me know you're going. We're not going to have like a meetup, but it'd be nice to know other people that are there. I can tell you that Marvin and Martin will not be there.
I will not. I will be in Chicago in March for another conference, the ABA Tech Show. And it's really...
If anyone's going there, let you know, right?
Don't let me know. Oh, no. Go ahead and let me know. I will be there. I don't think I'm going for the entire conference. I think I'm just going Thursday to Saturday for that. And then I have another conference in Miami in April. I'll have to look that one up and tell you what that one is. And there is rumors that there will be an Unconvention 2017, that the talks are in progress. So,
can we share any rumored locations?
I don't feel comfortable yet, but I think that our nation's capital is probably pretty high in the running.
That's good. I like that place. In fact, I'm going there this summer anyway. Oh, of course, I'm going this summer. I won't be going in the... Well, maybe I'll go again if that's what
yes,
it is.
But. Yes, I can't spill too much because I don't know everything. I'm not in charge, and I don't want to get in trouble.
Just take charge. Just take charge.
I took charge last year just to push the conference along, and then the powers that be made it happen. So I'm just like the cheerleader on the side, the Katy Perry in your world. All right, so ladies and gents, we thank you all for listening. We're going to go ahead and end off here, and I am going to end on a different slant on our good friend Ben Franklin, and I'm actually going to quote a phrase attributed to him that he actually never said. And one of the most popular adages attributed to him was actually written in 1737 in Poor Richard's Almanac, "A penny saved is two pence clear," which was interpreted later as "a penny saved is a penny earned." Never actually said by Ben Franklin, but penned by Ben Franklin. And with that bit of nugget, we thank you all for listening to this episode of Pod Nuts Pro. And be sure to listen and subscribe in your favorite podcatcher and catch some of the other great shows on the Podnuts Network. And until next time, we bid you good night.
My name is Jeff Houch. I am the host of Podnuts the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer repair podcast live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.